Breaking news today on Seculo, a new government spy program on Americans is revealed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. I definitely want to take your calls on this, so give us a call, get your comments in as well. If you're watching the broadcast on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, get your comments in there. Share this with your friends and family, because over the weekend it was reported that Department of Homeland Security, which is not doing its job to secure our border, but guess what they've got? A quote, this is the actual name of the program, the Overt Human Intelligence Collection Program. And under the program, officials are allowed to seek interviews with just about anyone in the United States. That includes American citizens. It also brings up some interesting Sixth Amendment issues, because it includes incarcerated people and implies that they can go around their attorneys and go directly to people who may be in prison to talk to them. So there's constitutional concerns for incarcerated folks, but there's also constitutional concerns for you and me, because they love to say, well, this is all voluntary. But Logan, as we all know, you get contacted by DHS for an interview with one of their intel departments. This comes from their Office of Intelligence and Analysis.
Yeah, I don't think you're taking that call very calmly.
You're calling a lawyer.
Yeah.
Unless they try to trick you into talking, which is what they try to do first to people.
Of course. Cold call you.
And what the issue is here, they have not explained really the purpose here. If the purpose is to fight terrorism, why do you need this? You should know the people you should be going for. You don't need such a broad, you know what I mean? It's easy to go to family members of people you suspect to be terrorists you warn them, and you say, do you know that your son or daughter's got involved in this situation, or husband or wife?
Yeah. You get them on your side, if you will, you know.
Right. This is, again, just another, it seems like another attempt. They keep trying and trying. How can they spy on Americans legitimately and constitutionally? So they'll throw in the word voluntary. But I think a lot of times when the government says that, it's like, if they knock on your door, if they call you and leave a message, one, I would mostly think these days, if I got that call on my voicemail, Logan, I would think it was spam.
I thought it was fake. Yeah.
Like,
I
mean, someone trying to get me to pay for an IRS bill, I don't know.
How many times do you get a call from a fake IRS or a fake FBI? You used to get the ones that would be like, hello, this is the FBI. We're coming to your home. And you always thought, okay, this is just another. But they always would give you a little pit in your stomach, and then you realize, like, I don't think this is how the FBI would
call.
Every
time I get a letter from something that looks like the IRS in my mailbox, I'm like, oh, God.
And then you open it up, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, so apply for more credit.
Credit card, right, exactly.
But
that's not what's happening here.
No, and I want to understand from folks what you think about this DHS under Mayorkas running its own overt human intelligence collection program. Again, unlimited access to seek interviews with just about anyone. Just about anyone in the whole United States of America. That includes citizens, non-citizens, incarcerated folks, folks who are not incarcerated. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think their purpose is here? Is it intimidation and silence of political opponents? Is it just more of the bureaucracy trying to take over running all aspects of the government? So even the elected officials have zero control, because they're now spying on all of us they're gathering domestic intelligence. That means spying. I mean, even what they're calling it, the other words that you would use are spying on Americans. And this is trying to get not electronic surveillance, but to come right to you.
Yeah,
let's just talk.
Yeah, we'll give you a call. We'll cold call you. Yeah, and you know, everyone knows how that
would
go. Show
up at your office.
Yeah, and it's not like, again, they're just showing up and just being like, hi, it's great. We'd love to just chat with you. Maybe they are talking like that. But it's at the point where no one feels that way. You don't feel that way when you're being spied on. You don't feel that way when you have any sort of government agency, much less the Department of Homeland Security, showing up at your front door or giving you a cold call. Like you said, you're calling a lawyer immediately. But hey, we want to hear from you. We want to love your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To have your voice heard today. We're also in the middle of our matching challenge here in the month of March.
That's right. So support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donations. A critical time for us at the ACLJ. So a $50 donation online right now at ACLJ.org triggers a $50 donation from one of our donors, our matching donors. You take that action, and then effectively that you have raised for us $100 total because of your $50 donation. And it works from smaller amounts to larger amounts. ACLJ.org. Secchio. So this DHS program called the Overt Human Intelligence Collection Program, where DHS officials from the Office of Intelligence and Analysis are allowed to seek interviews with just about anyone in the United States. That includes people held in immigrant detention centers, local jails, and federal prison. Now, it's interesting they focus there, because what they don't want to focus on is everyone else that that includes. Not just people who are in prison or in immigration detention centers, but you and me. So it's not just about criminals or people being detained by the U.S. government. They try to focus there. But by the way, that also raises constitutional issues. You have rights, certain rights, as an incarcerated person in the United States, especially when law enforcement is trying to speak to you. You have a right to counsel. And again, is this another attempt by DHS and the federal bureaucracy to use their intelligence agencies for political purposes? Because what they don't lay out here is what they're working on. Like, they have an FBI.
Right.
And I want to go to Andy Cotton about this. Andy, we have an FBI. We have a CIA. Why does DHS need to even be doing this?
Yeah, because it's not enough.
Yeah.
The politicization of the U.S. government is not enough. We haven't sufficiently politicized the Department of Justice and the FBI. Ha ha. We have indeed done that. But now we're going to add this other agency, a part of DHS, Department of Homeland Security, called the Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and we're going to empower them to do a little bit more spying and a little bit more inquiring into the lives and the attitudes of people in the United States, American citizens, domestic citizens, citizens of the U.S., by having them go up to you and voluntarily ask you, I'd like to have a little chat, a little discuss with you about some intelligence gathering that I'd like to do and some stuff that I'd like to pick up. And then going into jails and detention centers where there are constitutional rights to counsel, people who have been given Miranda warnings, where you don't have the right to go to somebody who has a lawyer without going through the lawyer first. We're just going to chat with you and talk with you. These are trampling constitutional rights that is really wrong. It is really wrong, Jordan, to do this.
And they call it, Andy, voluntary. We were just joking about that, because if you get caught off guard with this, first of all, they're doing intelligence analysis. So as our producer will point out, they're not walking up to you and say, hey, we're just doing a review. We need some intelligence. We're spying, basically, on you. They're not going to do it that way. So they're coming up with some other way to try and get you to, as they say, voluntarily talk to them. People get very concerned when they get contacted by these government agents, and oftentimes, while the first reaction should be, I'm calling a lawyer, there oftentimes is, I just want to get this handled, whatever you want, let me tell you.
Get out of it.
And you get yourself in trouble.
Well, that's exactly right. The first inclination of any citizen is to be cooperative with the government. Yes, what do you want? I'll talk to you. Big mistake. Don't do that. When someone says, I'm here from the FBI, I'm here from the Office of Intelligence and Analysis to help you, the answer is close your mouth. Do not discuss this. We are not a nation of people who are subjected or should be subjected to spying by our government and checking out things by just a casual conversation that is allegedly voluntary, but really isn't voluntary, because they intimidate you into talking to them and you want to be helpful. And you do that and you end up finding yourself in trouble because of something that you said that you weren't obligated to say. The government needs to stay out of our business, stay out of our banks, stay out of our insurance companies, stay out of our finance companies, and all the things that we talked about at the last broadcast about the intrusion of the federal government. Here's another one. DHS, Office of Intelligence and Analysis. I call it Office of Spying.
Yeah, I mean, that they're just using nicer words. They're talking about that they've got broad authority. They can go up to about any American, because what they're doing is saying it's voluntary. So they don't need a warrant. It's not secret. They're not electronically spying on you or your calls. But they're saying through this program is you have to be voluntary. So they're trying to subvert having to get court orders to approach you. And while they may be focused on those who are in prison incarcerated, they also have rights. So if you have any family members who are in prison incarcerated, for whatever reason, they should not be talking to officials like this who just show up at the prison without an attorney present, which is their constitutional right. Again, even those who have been found guilty of crimes have some rights remaining in the U.S., particularly to protect them from these exact kind of situations that our founding fathers were worried about, even for those who have been convicted of crimes. So when you see how they try to spin this, though, is they want, Andy, everybody to say, oh, this just has to do with criminals. But their statement is, This applies to nearly everyone inside the, not every American, everyone inside the United States of America.
That's right. It's not just criminals. It's not people who are detained, which is bad enough constitutionally, but it's everybody who is in the United States is subject to having someone come up, say that they're from the Department of Homeland Security, Office of Intelligence and Analysis, and say, let's have a little chat and a little discussion about some things. I'd like to talk to you a little bit and pick your mind about stuff. What is this? What have we become? Stay away from me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not interested in discussing this anything with you. See my lawyer.
Yep. I want to go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's do it.
Yep. Let's go ahead. You just go in order. It comes in.
Sure.
We go to Fred in Tennessee. Line one, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I was wanting to ask about this situation where by the use of a term such as insurrection, then you do not have any rights. You
right.
do not have any... anything. And so just by the throwing around of a word, then they can, by law, evidently, go into your bank account, find out where your phone was pinging and all that. How do we deal with stuff
well,
like that?
Well, that would, they would need a warrant, though. If they don't have a warrant for that, so you had to be involved enough in a crime, and it is, insurrection would be considered a crime, but it doesn't have to even be that high bar of a crime. But if you have to be, you know, go through that process, they've got to get a judge to sign off on it. That is a different situation here. What and what we're here talking about is a much lower bar because there's no court involved. These are just intelligence agents who show up, who give you a call, Fred, and say, we're from DHS. We need to talk to you. And I don't know if they go through some, a test like you don't have to talk to us. You could have a right to an attorney. I don't think so because they're not considering putting you under arrest at that moment, right? So, Andy, you can't invoke those rights.
No.
They don't have to tell you about those rights because you're technically not, if you don't want to talk to them, they're not like, they don't have you under their control.
No, you're not in detention. You're
right.
not. You're not under arrest. You are free to go. You don't have to. So therefore, they don't have to give you any rights under Miranda or any other cases the Supreme Court has pronounced with respect to this. They just come up to you and say, "I'd like to talk to you about thus and so and whatever." Who are you and what do you want? I think the response that citizens should make, anybody should make, not just a citizen, to something like this is, "I'm not interested in talking to you. Go away. Not yep. interested."
All right, back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Forrest in California on line two.
Hey, Forrest.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, although we have all these rights, I would figure 90 to 95% of American citizens who are approached by a federal officer would talk, even the ones who know they shouldn't, even the ones who know the rights, even the ones who are, yeah. who are had bad experiences, just because they could be manipulated into it. Just think about it. In the first week of the Trump administration, Director Comey of the FBI knew that it was probably too early to have the staff members have been debriefed about the FBI and told, whatever you say, don't if you'll ever go to the FBI without a lawyer present. So they intentionally targeted a General Flynn. If a guy as smart as General Flynn can go to the FBI and talk to him, have a friendly conversation about people he knew, whatever, he was tricked into making an accidental misstatement that he was later put in the carpet, ruined his life for 5 years because he, yeah. quote, lied to a federal agent. What they're trying to do is if you say anything they can later say is a lie, and then they got you on the hook, and the reason they did that is because they wanted to have turned him state evidence against the Trump administration. So, if someone like a regular citizen comes in and suddenly he's under the carpet, he can be kept from speaking out, he can be kept from voting.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing, Forrest. I think what you point out is exactly what the FBI was doing. Remember what Jim Comey said? Flynn didn't go to them initially. The FBI agents showed up at the White House, and they said, well, they knew they were just transitioning, and when you're involved in your first few days in office, you haven't got all of your procedures set up yet. And so they took advantage of that situation where White House counsel was just getting set up, and Flynn may not even met the White House counsel yet at that moment. And they said, okay, we're going to go in there, and we're going to just take advantage of the situation and talk to Flynn like that. And like you said, have this friendly conversation. That's the FBI. It's like, how many? And I know we're going to have Rick Rinella on later in the broadcast, and we have lots of different intel agencies.
Three departments.
And he will tell you that the reason why is because they all have a unique scope, and they're not supposed to do everything. Like, they're there to do this. They're there to do that. And then that's why when they do agree on something, it's such a big deal because they're coming at it from a different point. When they're all starting to look like just another way to spy on Americans,
yeah.
though.
That's where they all start to blur. They all start to run together.
It seems very broad here. Anything that could impact anything that could impact Homeland Security is a very broad analysis. I mean, that's common crime. that's organized crime, that's foreign actors, that's terrorism, that's, I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, phone lines are open right now, too, if you want to get your voice heard on the air. You heard a couple great calls. We do have a few lines open, a few people on hold.
Domestic violent extremists.
1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be on the air. Also, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. We are in the middle of our matching challenge. It means all donations are effectively doubled. So there's another donor out there, great group of donors saying we'll match any donation that comes in. So you can do that right now. Go to aclj.org, as Jordan said. Rick Grinnell joining us later. Other guests coming on. It's going to be a great rest of the show. Last call, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
To Seculo, to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. So we've talked about this DHS program. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Of course, this applies to almost everything we've been talking about for months. When we talk about the weaponization of the federal government against you, it's this program isn't just limited to prisoners on who might have, you know, links to terrorism, or else we probably wouldn't be talking about it. What we're talking about is because they don't need court orders to show up to interview you because they're saying it's a voluntary process. There's nothing voluntary about the power of the government showing up at your door, telling you to talk to them. I mean, like we've heard from our callers, even people who know I should probably call an attorney will feel in that situation like they're doing that. That will make them look somehow guilty to that interviewer.
Right.
And they're not going to give you your Miranda rights because they're not detaining you.
It's like an extreme case of when you're getting pulled over and you know you've done nothing wrong and you're like still panicking as if you had broken the law.
Like, what, that's what how is it feels. This about?
Right, exactly. That still sort of panic runs through. Now imagine that's the Department of Homeland Security.
My neighborhood uses, why'd you spend so much time in the left lane?
Yeah,
our left lane is only for passing and turning.
Oh, dude, mine would just be like, that's a cool car. Just want to check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not even that cool of a car.
When I had foreign tags, I mean plates from a different state.
Yes.
I also
that was a problem. That was a problem.
What you doing up here from Florida? Well, he's also a good red state.
Yeah. We do have some phone lines open, 1-800-684-3110. But we also want to talk a bit about a fundraiser happening right now. Also,
someone launched a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
It's Nina Jankowicz, the disinformation troll.
Yeah, you may remember her as the misinformation czar that they put in place.
Yes.
A few years back that lasted all of like 60 days.
She put her picture up online and then took it down.
Yeah, basically, and now
she wants to sue Fox News.
Yeah, and is raising money on GoFundMe to do so.
She thinks she's about $100,000 to go ahead with a, which is, again, very hard to sue news agencies for malicious, reckless lies.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what those were, considering she loves censorship. They said, oh, she wasn't about censoring. Well, what would she be doing?
What else is the misinformation board doing?
It was making recommendations to companies to censor certain information.
Yeah, so they were not really doing the censoring. They were telling the companies.
That's she's trying to.
They're like the DHS knocking at your door.
That's not going to win a lawsuit against Fox News when she's a public figure in such a controversial position that the Biden administration got rid of her. Okay, so they have all the best arguments.
Yeah.
And so she's raised. She thinks she has $100,000. She's raised.
What was the total? 15?
13,000.
Let
me tell you something. She's going to need a lot more than $100,000 to take on Fox News for a defamation.
It's pretty hard. Yeah. All right, I think we actually should go. We should go back to when she took the job and then how she sounds now. So here's originally Nina Jankowicz right after accepting this position.
We need the platforms to do more, and we frankly need law enforcement and our legislatures to do more as well. And in other countries, they're looking at this. You know, the UK has an online safety bill that's being considered right now where they're trying to make illegal this currently, quote, awful but lawful content that exists online where people are being harassed.
I love awful but lawful because that's what makes America America, is that you can have awful speech, but it's just as protected as your religious speech, as your good speech, as a speech you might like or the other person doesn't like. Because awful is a word that, again, you get to have your own version of. What's awful to you may not be awful to me, and vice versa. But look, that's what she wanted to do.
That's what she wanted to do. So let's flash forward
restrict
to now.
The First Amendment.
In the last week, here's what she said about what happened to her.
After my position was announced, baseless claims that the board was an Orwellian ministry of truth and I was President Biden's chief censor spread, even though the board had nothing to do with arbitrating or restricting speech.
See, this is where she's trying to make this distinction. She couldn't arbitrate or restrict the speech because she could only go make the recommendation to the platform to restrict the speech, which, by the way, because of their Section 230 protections under the Communications Decency Act, they are usually going to follow, as we've heard from Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
If Facebook comes, if FBI comes to Facebook and says do something, they've got an interest in doing things the federal government wants them to do because of the huge immunity they get from lawsuits from the federal code. So this idea that she was somehow mistreated, she was not mistreated at all because we know this happens. This Mark Zuckerberg admitted to it when he's talking to Joe Rogan. Just so you understand, what Nina Jankowicz is saying she didn't do, this is what she was doing. And she was going to be the head person for this. Take a listen.
There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
You know, and this actually, Andy, reminds me of kind of what the DHS is saying. He's saying, you know, the FBI showed up and basically told us, hey, you've got all this stuff on here. And they didn't say exactly what to do with it, but they put them on notice that, hey, we're watching and we think you've got information up that is dangerous to our country.
I mean, that is really
which
preposterous.
We know is junk.
It's not only preposterous, it's really scary because he ends up with saying, so be vigilant. Vigilant, which is a cognate of vigilante. In other words, watch out what you're doing because we may be looking at you or someone else may be looking at you. This is not the role of government. This is not the role of the FBI or DHS or the Department of Justice or Homeland Security or the Office of Overt Human Intelligence Collection Program. What a scary thing. Think about that. That is not what they ought to be doing. And that's exactly what they were doing, Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because you said vigilantism. In Nina Jankowicz's tweet about trying to raise money, she said, Fox can't keep getting away with targeting Americans for their hateful rhetoric and lies. Which Americans are those? Politicians? Because you can say whatever you want about politicians
and public
figures. So I'm not sure who she's talking about there. Trying to silence professionals, no, public figures, what you were, Nina Jankowicz, not a normal professional. Doing their jobs, not journalism, it's vigilantism. Actually, what you were engaged in as a private citizen with these private foundations was a lot more like vigilantism,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I wanted to play this from Dad, because he said, you know, when they get rid of the board, don't think this is over. So remember, first they got rid of her, then ultimately Mayorkas testified they got rid of the board.
Yeah.
But it's never over. Now we know what the DHS is doing now. Take a listen. This is a flashback to 2022.
Buckle your seatbelts. They will try this again, and maybe they don't announce it this time.
And what we learned is DHS didn't announce it this time.
They didn't announce it. There was still stuff
out
happening.
About it.
Yeah, there was still essentially it existed. All right, we got another half hour coming up on Seculo. You can join us online on Rumble, on Facebook, on YouTube, those other sources as well. But really, Rumble is where we focus a lot of our views. You can also watch it directly on ACLJ.org. You should do that today. Take a look. We're going on. We also in the middle of our matching challenge, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. We encourage you. This is a very important month for us financially for the ACLJ. Well, listen, we know it's tough times and kind of hard times to predict. But what we're talking about here is donations I think a lot of you can make, which is a $25 donation to ACLJ. Right now at ACLJ.org triggers a $25 match. A $40 donation triggers a $40 match. What does that mean? Effectively, if you made that $40 donation right now at ACLJ.org, that gets us $80 total. $50 gets us that $100 total. So be part of this matching challenge if you can financially. We can do all this work, not just the broadcast, all the work that we do, all the clients we represent, at no cost to them because of you. Donate today at ACLJ.org. Be part of our matching challenge. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us in the second half hour of the broadcast. We're talking about Mayor Pete as well. Giant cranes that are possible Chinese spying tools. So you don't want to miss that discussion with Rick coming up on the broadcast. And again, we encourage you, as always, to support the work of the ACLJ logo. We're in this matching challenge right now, and we don't do this often on our show. It's a few times a year. And even during the matching challenge, some shows we don't talk about as much, but we really want to let people know today it's very important for us financially. It's so we can plan in the future. We're able to go back and replenish the funds that have been spent on cases and the work that we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And during the month of March is one of those pivotal moments for our year. It's kind of wrapping up our first quarter. So we're able to project what we're going to be doing for the rest of the year, how we're going to be able to allocate funds, whether that is to special projects, whether it has a lot of stuff you know about, a lot of stuff you don't know about, and we can't do it without your support. So all you need to do is visit ACLJ.org. You can make that tax-deductible donation today. ACLJ.org, if you want to go directly, just /donate. And any gift you give today will be matched. So what that means, and I've said it a bunch of times, but for people who don't understand, they're not, if you give $10, it doesn't mean you're charged $20. It means there's another group of donors who've already pledged to match any donation that comes in. And I know we push this hard during these months, and you go, oh, Logan, I've heard it, I understand it. But for a lot of people who are new, I want you to check out the work, and not only go to the website to support the work and to donate, but also go to the website and see the incredible content that's there. Great videos, great blogs, great news pieces that are put up each and every day by our team, our legal team, our media experts. It's all available there on ACLJ.org, and you can do that right now. You can also download the app. You can also make sure you're engaged by subscribing. There's thousands of you watching right now on all our different platforms and thousands of you listening. But the thousands watching right now, if you're not subscribed or following our channels, whether you're on Rumble or YouTube, I encourage you to do that right now. It's simple. One click. Just do that. Hit that thumbs up also. It helps get this word out there. When you have shows like ours, it's important for people to see it. And without your support and without your engagement, I know it's a word you hear a lot now, it won't be seen. It won't be featured. We have to beat the algorithms, and you can do that. Help us with that.
Yeah. And more violence, too. We saw in Atlanta, I didn't want to miss that, yesterday, where they're building this police and fire department facility for training for police officers as Antifa took it over with Molotov cocktails. I mean, there was
smoke. I don't even think I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, they broke into the news last night because right as it was getting dark, kind of at dusk, and Antifa broke into one of their construction sites, and I mean, Molotov cocktails are being thrown off. And this happened in Atlanta, Georgia.
One of the biggest cities in the country.
Yeah, and again, it does not seem like the police are able to get ahead of this, so it's always then in response. So you see the Antifa folks just running around, doing whatever they want, burning down and destroying property. This is interesting, too, because the city of Atlanta is trying to build this facility to better train officers. It also involves fire department, which we all need. I mean, just like we need police. So it's like, again, they want no police. They don't want better trained police. They want none. And so they're trying to actually make it impossible for them to move forward with this construction project. Let me take a call to Warren in Ohio, Idaho quickly. Hey, Warren.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, my comment is, as a regular listener, and I call in and have donated when I can.
Thank you.
I've had friends that have been like, I can't call in because I don't want to be a target of the FBI. I don't want to be a target and have the IRS.
It's the new world we live in, right? I mean, listen, it's why we don't give out your last name. We're not trying to identify you publicly to the world.
But it's a real concern. People don't have that when they sign petitions. They get involved.
Yes, I mean, we've seen that with petitions too. Is that we'll get that question often, and listen, we handle those petitions carefully because we want to make sure that right we have to petition our government in the First Amendment is utilized. Because when you don't utilize your rights, they suddenly start, even when the text is there, they suddenly start going away. And they tried to do that even during COVID. Can't deliver petitions anymore. But we said, we'll develop a way we can. Because we love to deliver them electronically where you can break it down by zip code and all of that. So, again, it's important. Know that we're going to be there to protect your constitutional rights at the ACLJ. That fundamentally, that is what we are dedicated to. So while you may be afraid sometimes to stand up and speak your mind, don't be, because we're here for you. In any case, any situation that may arise, support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. You can double the impact of your donations. We said matching challenge month, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. one I had to get Rick Rennell on for. It was a Wall Street Journal exclusive report that came out again just over the weekend. And the headline is that the Pentagon sees giant cargo cranes as possible Chinese spying tools. What we've done is we've purchased these giant Chinese-made cranes that operate in American ports for they were on the cheap. They weren't as expensive. And now they believe that they may be Trojan horses that are spying and tracking and using sensors to know where everything that we're putting in, everything that we're importing in, and exporting into the United States. So they're well-made and inexpensive, which makes people wonder, why would the Chinese sell us such well-made cranes? And of course, we talk about they really focus on the importance of ports, not just their own, but tracking, I guess, what's going on in our own ports. Let me bring in Rick Rennell, who's the former acting director of national intelligence and our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security. Rick, this report, I mean, it's pretty shocking and surprising that even a crane utilized could now be seen by our Pentagon as another spy tool from the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the good news. The good news is that we've got an arm of the United States government recognizing the importance of combating Chinese spying. I applaud that. We've had a problem of trying to get these agencies to understand the threat from China. Too many people in Washington try to say, look over there, Russia, 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 and Beijing applauds every time we do. It's important to say that Russia is a problem, but China is a crisis. And the more we can focus on what they're doing to utilize technology to come into the United States and spy, the better. Now, I don't want to talk about this program specifically, but let me just say that we were very public about our concerns with the Chinese company Huawei. And Huawei was all over Europe. I remember multiple conversations with Chancellor Merkel about combating this. Europeans were going for the cheap version of the technology. And we have a problem with this in the Balkans and in Eastern Europe. And I have to say, even Israel buying Huawei technology. We need to do a better job of combating Chinese spying. It's everywhere and it's in their technology.
I think people remember Huawei as the first time the U.S. government said, hey, this is not a company we should be doing business with, and we need to take down their 5G sensors. I think that's where they got in, it wasn't so much their devices, which are popular in the developing world in places that don't have the same kind of economies that we do to afford $1,000 phones, right, smartphones, but they started to put in, they used our telecom systems to install their 5G system. Similar to this story, Rick, they would do it on the cheap, but it would work well. And then their back end is that they're using it to track. I mean, what they're saying here is that these cranes, what they really can track is any kind of like military equipment being sent in and out of the United States, that they've got a specific purpose about what they'd want to look for. It's not really for cars. It's not really for regular devices. It's to see where our military equipment is coming in and going out.
Look, you hit it on the head. It's the cheap version. It works. It's, a short-term solution. It's certainly not going to last that long. We know that is the criteria for all of these Chinese products that come into the United States. We see it constantly. It's a very cheap version that doesn't last that long. That's the challenge that our American diplomats overseas have had to try to convince these countries, is to say it's going to be cheap and it may or may not work all the time. We saw it with COVID. I have to tell you, with the PPE, it was a huge problem. Chinese tests that didn't work, the masks that were not quite up to snuff, and we really had a problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, if people remember that, their testing was never really accurate. We weren't able to rely on it. And people were trying to import the mask.
Yeah, you had to be careful where you're getting them from. And
yeah,
it feels like the past now, but it was not that long ago.
Yes, and so we've had Huawei, we've had TikTok, which a lot of government agencies now have gotten rid of, at least said off their phones. It's not illegal yet in the United States, but and if you have your own Wi-Fi that you pay for, you can use it with Wi-Fi. But a lot of states and the federal government have looked at now saying it's illegal to keep it on your phone while I think most said if you have a government phone, you got to delete it. Oh, but then if you are like at a college campus and the state's banned it, or you work for the state, your phone cannot be utilized
on like the Wi-Fi,
that they use.
Look, we do that here.
So then it brings to the question then, Rick, do we need to start looking at these more mundane kind of equipment like a crane? So it makes sense, I think, to people when they hear spying type devices when it comes to 5G.
Yeah, you're carrying around microphones and cameras on you at all times.
And your TikTok terms of service that lets you see your keystrokes on anything that you make. But when you think about cranes, it's kind of a new way of thinking that, like, anything that's coming out of China on a scale could be something utilized for bad, for something that would hurt our country.
I wish I could just go into all the examples that I'm thinking of right now. We're in dangerous territory when you're talking to a former DNI. I got to be very careful. But let me just say this overall. We must be vigilant about what China is bringing into this country, whether it's on our college campuses and our universities, whether it's through local government contracts. Gavin Newsom has been caught trying to do these deals on the cheap with China. I would just caution everyone when you're buying anything from Amazon. Amazon does a lousy job of filtering out the Chinese products. You have to understand these are cheap products, and many times they are very good at trying to spy on us. And I'm not suggesting that it's with every product, but it certainly exists more widespread than we know.
You know, that is, to me, I mean, I think it's just a new world to operate in for all of us to be that much more, especially people that run businesses and bring in, again, equipment, heavy equipment, and look at, say, okay, they're trying to get the best price, and oftentimes that is going to come out of places like China, but to maybe second guess and say, you know, maybe there's a better option, even if it's not a U.S.-made company, but a better option from another country that I can trust. And I think it just, the whole way of thinking has to change for the business community and for all of us. Even when we're thinking about installing a new app on our phone, it's like, hey, I better check to see who's behind this app exactly. Rick, I also want to talk about this with CPAC in the news, because there's a lot of mis- and disinformation, it felt like, about that. Because you got CPAC is at this huge hotel outside Washington, D.C. President Trump spoke, and I know he also did a side of it for his campaign, which was packed. So the media loved just showing pictures saying, oh, there's no one here, there's no one there. You were actually there. I've been to a lot of CPACs before. The reason CPAC is at the new location is because they outgrew any of the locations in Washington, D.C., because the rooms just could not hold enough people. What was it actually like? Because the media is trying to spin it off as, see, this part of the movement is dead.
Look, CPAC has always been the really strong grassroots activists. And it was no different this time. I felt like there was a lot of grassroots people who were coming up with a lot of great ideas. So you saw lots of different booths about ideas. CPAC is a place where lots of ideas, new ideas are generated. And I love that part of it. I like walking through the booths and seeing what conservatives are thinking are the issues of tomorrow. I think that there was a lot of college kids. There's a lot of activists that were there. That room is so ginormous that even if that room is half filled or a quarter filled, you still have hundreds of people there. And I think that it was really well attended. It was jammed in the hallways. You couldn't walk through. I thought it was a fantastic CPAC. I think everybody came that was thinking of running for president, but DeSantis, for some reason, he didn't show up. But everybody else was there. And there was a good debate. This whole idea that CPAC has turned into Trump. I think Trump is the leader of the party. He's the most popular person in the party. So, of course, he has the majority. But there were a lot of other voices and ideas that were there. Vivek was there. Mike Pompeo was there. Nikki Haley was there. There were a lot of other voices. And I think the media just likes to, try to pretend like.
I've always gone after CPAC. I feel like I've known a lot of different folks, whether it's the Slaps, my buddy Greg Keller, different people that have run it. And it's always been the media just. And I think it's part of what you said, Rick, it's because young people. You know, and I think they saw turning points, the same reason that they go after the turning point and try to stay out with a bunch of, you know, right-wing radical kids, is that when young people are involved in something, they realize that down the road that's going to have a major political impact.
Yeah, I will say this. I think that if you are wanting to be an elected official, if you're wanting to be a leader within the conservative movement, you have to go to CPAC because those are your people who are the mouthpieces, and you try out issues. And if they receive it, then it can go somewhere. I think it's a perfect opportunity to try out new ideas. People absolutely have to go.
Yeah, Rick, no, I think that's a good point you made about the opportunity to just talk through to, it's like talking to friends and family, but it's your base activists who are going to get your message out through, again, through all of their worlds that they've got contacts with. But it was interesting to see your point, because I wasn't there this time. I was just watching the media spin, which is always interesting to see. And of course, they come up with a new way every time to say CPAC doesn't matter, yet all these people who are pretty high profile go to CPAC.
All showing up.
Yeah. Rick, as always, we appreciate it.
Yep. And hey, we are heading into the final segment. If you would like to have your voice heard, we're going to take as many calls as we can in this last segment. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to hit another topic as well. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. And support the work of the ACLJ by visiting aclj.org during our matching challenge. We'll be right back.
Mayor Pete is reorganizing. Secchio, we are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Secchio Brothers will be back tomorrow.
That's right. We'll be back doing a Tuesday show this week, so give you a little more time for the news to actually something to happen.
You got a little bit of a Secchio Brothers today. Anyways.
Exactly, yeah. So you get a little a double down.
We're going to finish up today with, and don't turn it up, because this is, I think, actually one of the more interesting stories we're going to talk about today, which is Mayor Pete's restart. He knows he needs a reboot. He admits now to CNN, not on TV.
Yeah.
But he did a
online interview.
That's a weird place to choose just print.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of other print outlets, but he obviously had someone there who wasn't going to be nasty to him and would just let him put his propaganda
out. I think it's pretty interesting, though, that he would say this. I think he's someone who still has presidential hopes, presidential dreams.
Near gone.
So, what'd you say?
Almost done.
Almost done if he doesn't really course correct.
Yeah, because if he quits, he can't course correct.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't, and what's he really going to be able to do about infrastructure in 2 years?
Yeah, very little.
So... But he has admitted...
I don't think I've known a road to ever get done in 2 years. Like, not talking about, like, a highway. I'm talking about, like, an intersection. There's, like, you know, they can't hang a traffic light, it feels like, in 2 years.
Yeah, so he has admitted that it was wrong not to go to East Palestine earlier. But then he starts blaming other people, says it's really not part of his job. First of all, he's the head of DOT.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally your job.
That's why people said to go, and they were focusing on him. He oversees all of those different branches. So he finally admits to that. He acknowledged that mistake, and he should have gone there earlier. He said he failed to anticipate. But see, this is what I want to point out first here. The political fallout from the toxic trip. This is how they're thinking. See, this is what made Mayor Pete really unqualified to be DOT. It's not even just age or incompetence. That's probably some of it. But small town mayors shouldn't be the head of America's infrastructure and travel or and transportation. But secondly, is it's the only reason he regrets it is because of the political fallout. Not the fallout, the actual fallout that the people are experiencing in East Palestine.
Mayor Pete continues to demonstrate his incompetence with respect to the tragic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. After 2 years on the job, Transportation Secretary Buttigieg, better known as Mayor Pete, finally realizes that he needs to do his job and stop squealing. For the last 2 years, he's been living in a world of alternative reality, and he's been focused on elitist concerns such as green energy and climate change, while working class people in America are struggling. So he's still whining, but at least he acknowledges that he was wrong with respect to the Ohio derailment response. But he then launches into an attack on his political opponents and again ignores the real concerns of the people in Ohio. One of the things that I find really peculiar with respect to Mayor Pete is that he has focused so much of his time on being woke with respect to climate change and ethnicity, and other than his ability to complain about the skin color of construction workers, I think he has few qualifications, and he's demonstrated even less competence.
Yeah, he said this about Fox News host Logan. Of course, he wouldn't say this on the air anywhere.
Yeah, we have to read it.
So somebody wrote this. He probably didn't write this. It's really rich to see some of these folks, the former president, these Fox hosts, who are literally lifelong card-carrying members of the East Coast elite, whose top economic policy priority has always been tax cuts for the wealthy, and who wouldn't know their way around a TJ Maxx if their life depended on it, to be presenting themselves as if they genuinely care about the forgotten middle of the country. And then he goes on to say, you think Tucker Carlson knows the difference between TJ Maxx and Kohl's? Yes, because he does care about the country. And yeah, these guys have become successful, but they all started out hardworking jobs. Sean Hannity was a local radio show host for a long time of his career, you know, in Alabama, Georgia, then got back home to New York where he's from. But again, they do know. They're definitely not card-carrying members of the East Coast elite when they're Fox News hosts. They're banned from those kind of events.
And exactly.
That part of society, which is why they end up a lot of times still get harassed. Even Tucker Carlson, he's in Montana fishing with his kids.
Yeah, he's at a bait shop and getting harassed on video. We've all seen that. Yeah. I'm sure that's what happens to a lot of East Coast elites.
Yeah, right. When they go out to Montana. And no. So the whole idea is Mayor Pete wishes he was an East Coast elite, but you can't be technically one when you're born in Indiana, I guess, and your whole stick is being small town mayor. But the fact is, he, again, is trying to make it all about politics.
Yeah.
And we talk about the forgotten man. He doesn't even care about the people.
Right.
He never says, I should have done better for the people of East Palestine. He says, I should have done better, Harry, because it's hurt Democrats politically.
Absolutely. And he demonstrates his commitment to being the epitome of an elite individual. Keep in mind, Mayor Pete graduated from Harvard. He was a consultant for McKinsey, and he cares about elite values.
Those consultants at McKinsey who went to Harvard, it doesn't really matter.
Not that there's really anything wrong with it if you still care about the people.
No, just don't bash.
Right.
Don't try to make the people who aren't actually that. And then when you actually are that, and your Mayor Pete thing is just kind of a phony stepping stone to a position you certainly weren't qualified to take. I mean, the thing is, Donald Trump showed up. They bashed that. Mayor Pete bashed that.
Yeah, he
showed
up
with what people said they needed from the government. Clean, bottled water.
Right. He showed up with pallets full.
So they could bathe their kids and have something to drink.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why there's always been a disconnect with Donald Trump. Sure, Donald Trump comes from the world of we can say he is certainly coming from New York and all this, but has always had a different sense of reality than a lot of people.
He actually...
He relates more
to a construction worker.
That's his life, that's his world. Yeah.
Which is a different than just being some consultant to some firm that you don't actually make.
This was the guy they made fun of for having a McDonald's in the White House.
Right. Right.
He wasn't doing that just for the heck of it.
He loves his McDonald's.
Yeah. Or, you know, a double scoop of ice cream.
Who among us doesn't like their McDonald's?
Yeah. Too much. Clearly. You can tell.
Yep.
All right. We only got a couple minutes left. I think it is important also, though, continue talking about the work we're doing and the current matching challenge.
That's right. So ACLJ right now, we have this matching challenge. And Logan, we have it for the entire month. But people can go online to aclj.org and double the impact of their donation. You know, we can't do this. We're able to provide all of this at no cost because of our donors. Whether it's the broadcast, whether you're watching it, you see it all the different ways we do the live video of this and all the different clips that come out later, whether it's the audio that you're hearing or if you hear through a podcast. And then that's just the show we're talking about. All the attorneys, all the staff and the government affairs team in Washington, D.C. working for you 24/7 and ready to represent you at no cost when necessary, like all of our cases. That's because we have a base of financial support coming from our donors that say, keep up the work. We want you to still be able to do this and keep doing this and make sure that you can represent people who otherwise wouldn't be able to get representation, and thus all of our constitutional rights would not be protected. So donate today at aclj.org. And because of the matching challenge, Logan, it's just, I say it, but it's so simple.
Yep.
We don't do those crazy ones you get in these texts like where it's seven. It's just, it's a match. If you make a $50 donation to aclj.org right now, we have a donor ready. They will match that $50. So
and you don't have
that
do triggers anything, 100. You don't have to do anything special. You just go online, make it. You'll see real big on the top. It says matching challenge, donations doubled. Click donate today. Simple. You do it. It's very easy. But also what we encourage you to do is check out all the great content that's on the website. So it's not just about donating. There's also incredible content, like Jordan said, that we provide for free because of donations like yours. If you are watching right now on Rumble and you're brand new to the broadcast, I'm going to ask you to click that follow button. Because we do this show Monday through Friday, every day, and great content that rolls out all week long. All right, talk to you tomorrow.